Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning we consider the circle of life with one particular subset that is in Galatians chapter 6. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. We look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. The definition of a circle is easy. You have a starting point, and then you have the circumference that comes around again to the starting point. And that's what we're considering in one particular aspect today, the circle of life that God is in charge of. Now, the circle of life itself, as I define it, is very broad. You can look into the book of Job and see that. In the book of Job, you have the circle of life there very clearly. Well beyond, as ye sow, so shall ye reap. Remember that Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He lost them. And it came around again, and he had 7 sons. And Keziah, Karen Hapuk, and Jemima were the most beautiful women for miles around. Job lost all of his possessions, but the circle came full around, and he got back not just all that he had lost, but double for all that he had lost. Now, in the book of Job, the perspective of the circle of life is clear. Naked I came from my mother's womb. I came into this world with nothing, and I go out of this world with nothing. That's that circle of life again. Job grasped that, and Job kept his focus on that. And we wanted today focus on that circle of life, and in particular, this idea of as ye sow, so shall ye reap. Now, you kids, have you ever played tetherball? Ever played tetherball? Sure. You got a pole there, and you got this rope, and then you got this ball. It's like a soccer ball or like a volleyball, and you throw it up and you hit it. Now, maybe sometime you get mad at somebody. Oh, you're really mad at the person. You go out there with that tether ball, and you hit that tether ball, and it hits you in the back of the head, huh? As ye sow, so shall ye reap. Now, we're looking at that this morning. That's one of the aspects that we're considering here, the warning. Now, when we talk about this, as ye sow, so shall ye reap, the way it's said in Galatians chapter 6, it's a law. It's a law of God. And you know, the worldlings, they know the laws. They know them so well, the laws of science. And they hold by those laws. They say there's no alteration there. It's unalterable, these laws of science. We've got this sun, and we've got the earth that revolves around the sun. There's that circle of life that God set up, huh? And there's seed time and harvest. They shall not fail until the end. Now, the worldling, they accept that as, of course, there's going to be seed time and harvest. And then we've got that earth of ours that continues to rotate. And we have day and night. And there's nobody here, and there's nobody in all of the surrounding area who would deny that there is going to be night followed by day followed by night. It's certain. This is a law of science. But now remember that it is the Lord our God who upholds the universe by the power of his word. If he wants to suspend any of these laws of science, he can, as in the Valley of Ajalon, when the Amorites are fighting against God's people. Then remember how that turning of the earth on its axis and getting that sunlight, God suspended the law and gave his people nearly a whole day of sunlight to defeat the enemy. But otherwise, the laws of science are in effect. They do not change. They're there, period. Think about the laws of math. Take the simplest little equation. 2 + 2 = 4. They never equal 3. They never equal 5. 2 + 2 = 4. That's the law of God. These are laws that God set up. You go through mathematics and these are simple, and everybody accepts them. Everybody agrees, of course, they cannot be changed. They're firm, they're sure. You know, old Archimedes, the great ancient Greek mathematician and scientist, he discovered a lot of these laws, and that's why he's called great, That's why we even acknowledge him today. One time Archimedes said, you give me a fulcrum, and you give me a lever, and you give me a place to stand, and I'll move the world. Well, he discovered this law of God, that you've got this fulcrum and this lever, and the farther out that lever goes, the more power you have on the short end of the lever. Of course, there's no place to stand that he could do it. But you see, he discovered that law of science, that law of math. And everybody accepts that today. Nobody doubts it.
Oh. But then, when you get to the spiritual laws, like this one we read in the text, as you sow, so shall you reap, there's a lot of doubts on the part of the world. There's a lot of questioning. Oh, they'll accept science, they'll accept math, but when it comes to the spiritual laws in God's word, there's another question. But none of us are worldlings, are we? But don't we even sometimes wonder, as ye sow, so shall ye reap? And I know this guy's been getting away with murder for years. I know how lies have been told and have been propagated and nobody has stopped them. On and on the list goes of thoughts that creep up in our mind when we look at this spiritual law of God. Well, let's remember that what we're looking at here is something that is unalterable. The only variation is that God carries out this law according to his timing and according to his goodwill. Now, every coin has two sides. We know that. Heads and tails. So today we want to look at the two sides of this coin, of this law, as ye sow, so shall ye reap. First of all, we want to go back to King Solomon. Now, you heard in the psalm, one of the things that Solomon had recorded a couple times in the book of Proverbs. He who digs a pit will fall into it. Now, for us, that's simple enough. But, oh, up comes Mr. Mocker, and he says, what kind of a dope will dig a pit and fall into it? You tell me that. This man has to be intensely stupid to dig a pit and then fall into it. Well, think for a minute. Okay, here's this man out in the forest. He's dug this pit. He's taken these pine boughs. He's covered over that pit so carefully. He's camouflaged it very well. And accomplishing the work, he blithely goes off through the forest towards his house. And he's listening to the songbirds. And then the songbirds, they stop singing. And he wonders, well, why is that the case? And he starts to look around. And he keeps going, but then he hears something brush against the bushes on this side. Goes over here. And then it's like somebody has stepped on one of those branches that is so tender dry and it's cracked. And he starts to wonder. And then he looks and he sees maybe like flitting shadows going through the forest from tree to tree. And he's going around this way and he's going around that way. And he thinks, oh, I've got to get home. And the fear is gripping him. And the sweat is coming down his head. And he rushes to, and he goes to the pit. He was not a stupid man, but he was an unbeliever. And who intervened? God intervened in his own way, in his own manner, to have that wicked man, that wicked fool, fall into that pit. And this is, as ye sow, so shall ye reap. There's no question about it. When I think about that pit, I think back to the days of Moses. And Korah, Dathan, and Abiram conspired against Moses and said, oh, this is ridiculous out here in the desert. This is terrible. We should go back to Egypt. They rebelled against Moses' authority. They were digging a pit, metaphorically. And remember what God then said? Stand back from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And the people did. And Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and all their cohorts and all their families were swallowed up by the earth that opened up, and down they went, straight to Sheol. There's a reminder again, as ye sow, so shall ye reap. But, you know, we have a problem sometimes with this negative side of this. Think about if you were living in Jerusalem back in the days of the apostles. And Saul of Tarsus had just come into Grandma and Grandpa's house with his minions and hauled those two old people off to be imprisoned for the simple reason they were Christians. And then you hear that Saul of Tarsus has got letters from the chief priests with great authority and a good track record so far, and he's heading off to Damascus. And you've got Uncle Harry and Aunt Louise over there. Well, there might be a thought that flits through our mind that we'd sort of like to take the circle of life into our own hands and guide and direct it. And so maybe you'd sit off, huh? You'd sit off maybe to waylay this Saul of Tarsus along the way, to keep him in his dirty hands off of Uncle Harry and Aunt Louise. And as you're proceeding, all of a sudden up ahead, you're nearly on Saul and his associates, and there's that bright light, and there's that sound that comes from heaven. Now, if you would have taken vengeance into your own hands, where would we be today with the Apostle Paul, the greatest of the missionaries? You see, we sometimes would like to take vengeance into our hands, and that's why we have to remember that it is God who controls the circle of life. It is God who by his grace will even intervene. Just as in the Valley of Ajalon, God intervened with that scientific law of the earth rotating to cause judgment, so God intervenes in the life of Saul to become the Apostle Paul. And if you would have taken vengeance, well, where would we have today all these churches that Saul become Paul started? No, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. But the coin has another side to it, doesn't it? And that's the positive. Now let's go back to Solomon. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, "Cast your bread upon the water, for after many days you'll find it." Up comes Mr. Mocker, and he says, "Oh, yeah? Well, let's go down to the bakery. Let's get a loaf right from the baker, fresh as a daisy, warm even from the oven. Okay, we'll wrap it in one covering of plastic. Then we'll wrap it in three more coverings of plastic. Now, come on with me. Let's go up on that bridge over the Congaree. Okay, now, throw it." And you throw the loaf in, and off it goes down the river. And Mr. Mocker says, "You know where that loaf is going to end up? It's going to end up in a swamp. Even if you go over the Santee River, you throw a loaf off the bridge, it's going to end up in the ocean. Even that greatest of rivers that drains such a large part of our country, Mississippi, never flows in a circle." That's what the mockers say. Well, let's get back up on that bridge over the Congaree, and let's look upriver. And you can just see up there somebody throwing something off the bridge that's going to be coming down the other way. See, this is God who is in charge. This is our Lord who has control of the circle of life. "As ye sow, so shall ye reap." The Lord tells us clearly over and over in Scripture. "Be kind to the poor. You're lending to the Lord, and he will repay you." Over and over again, our Lord teaches this with all of its different facets. The golden rule. Every one of us knows that, don't we, from the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." And Luke records for us a little different wording in a different situation that is a variance of that. "Give, and it will be given to you." Now, that's not supposing you're going to do something. That's assuming you're going to do it and knowing God's going to do it too. "Give, and it will be given to you. Full measure, pressed down." You get the picture? The blessings are there. He's pressing them down. "Shaken together, shaken up so that more running over will be put in your lap." There's a picture, the positive picture of God who is in charge. You go back to Job and you think, well, let's see now. If I give $20, I'm going to get back $40. No. God operates with far more currencies than just dollars. He operates with the mental, the physical, the material, and the spiritual. And God may give back to you in a different currency than you gave. But the promise is, cast your bread upon the water, and after many days you will find it. But it is in God's good time that you find it. And what is the ultimate? What is the ultimate good that God is going to give to us as they seek to serve him on this earth? Well, we read it in the text. "He who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Isn't that exciting? I don't even have to have that $40 back on this earth for the 20 I gave away. No, I don't need that. Because I know that ultimately this law is going to hold. As you sow, so shall you reap. Give, and it will be given to you. On and on these passages go. What a joy it is to know this law of God, that it is as hard and fast as anything Archimedes found. It is as hard and fast as any scientific law that any scientist has discovered. Kids, we got an example for you about this law. You know what a boomerang is? You know what a boomerang is? Okay, he's shaking his head. Okay, right. A boomerang is something that you throw, right? Well, you lose it. But what happens to the boomerang? You get it back. This is a reminder of how God operates with us. Like the boomerang, you throw it, but God has it returned to you. Oh, but Mr. Mockery comes on the scene still to debate with us. And he says, oh, have you really received yet from God? It was a long time ago. Seemingly, maybe he was dozing when you did that and he missed it. Our God does not sleep. Our God's eyes roam to and fro throughout the earth. He knows what is in Sheol, the grave, and he knows who is in Abaddon, hell. But Mr. Mocker persists and he says, oh, but, you know, can God really be so concerned about you, the individual? I mean, maybe he was preoccupied with the Chinese Christians on the other side of the globe. I mean, look at the persecution they face. How can he be so preoccupied with you? And we say, this is the God who set the Pleiades in the sky and numbers the very hairs upon my head. That's how I know, because Scripture clearly teaches me these wonderful spiritual laws. Some years ago, I was at my Uncle Earl's, and Uncle Earl took me to his local barber for a haircut. And Uncle Earl introduced me as Eddie. Well, that was my father's name. Uncle Earl did not just have a slip of the tongue. Uncle Earl had Alzheimer's. We are the forgetful people. We are the people who face senility and Alzheimer's on and on. Not our God. Not our God who created this vast world and maintains it still by the power of his word. You know, our mind could be compared to like a little match that we strike. And there's that flame that flickers so brilliantly for a while, and then it's gone. That's our mind. God's mind is like that vast sun with its light and its heat and its power that seemingly just goes on and on while my little flame goes out. We rely upon our God and his laws. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Give, and it will be given to you. Give to the poor. You're lending to the Lord. He'll repay. And be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Our God knows every one of us. And he's got his arms wide stretched and he says, come here, you rascal. I know you and I love you. Amen.